beloved Lamb of God, in Jesus' name. How wonderful. The rest we enter in, the very rest of God, because of the great love wherewith we are loved, because of that mercy seat, because of that fathomless blood. Oh, Lord, help us to have more of a vision today. The power in the blood, the power in that grace, the power in that unmerited favor, the power in the love that will never let us go, the power of the love of the one who is faithful and true. Lord, thank you for you. Thank you for such a beautiful Savior. Thank you for such a wondrous God, whose ways are past finding out, but yet we can know face to face as a friend. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity of your heart, that we can know your love, that we can know your ways. Lord, let us enter into that this morning, and it's all through the word of your grace. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Begin opening your Bibles to James chapter 5. Been so sweetly encouraged about prayer. How wonderful it is that God has given us prayer. How wonderful that the Word of God says, pray always. Pray continually. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, making our requests made known unto God. He wants to hear from us, doesn't he? And he loves to hear in Jesus' name, because that's how we pray. Never be ashamed of the name of Jesus. When you pray, let it be known. And in love, not in being obnoxious, but in love. Oh, in Jesus' name. Praise God. James 5:16 tells us, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You really break out those words and their meaning. You've got dynamite power of the Holy Ghost behind that prayer. You've got the whole attention of heaven behind that prayer. You've got God coming off that throne with smoke in his nostrils. I'm telling you, that's my son. And I'll tell you what, if I be for him, who could be against him? I've moved heaven and earth. More importantly, I've given the very life of my only begotten to bring many sons to glory. And praise be to God. We have the full backing of heaven, the full backing of the Word of God in Jesus' name. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, who are the righteous? By the grace of God, us. Amen? Thanks be to God. We know this. 2 Corinthians tells us in chapter 5, verse 21, it's God's precious people. We have been made through the blood the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. See, we have been made the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I love how it says in Psalm chapter 11, 7, highlight this verse, because you have been made that unto God by our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He made you the very righteousness of him. And in Psalm 11, 7, look what he made you. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. There's such a peace in that. He made you exactly through the blood what he loves. Because he made you his son. He made you his child. He adores you. I can speak of a parent how much I adore my children. I love them beyond any amount of words I could ever express or tell you how I love them. But I will tell you, that could never even, and is not even worthy to be compared with the love of the Father for you. And He wants you to pray. And I'll tell you what, when we are born again, praise be to God, we are righteous through and through. You are. The only difference amongst God's precious people is how much will we grow up in that freely given righteousness? How mature will we become in that freely given righteousness, which is also known as Christ in you, the hope of glory? That's that life, the very life of Jesus Christ. Yes, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's why we're righteous, because of that life. How does that life grow? We know faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Our life is all the same. It grows one way. We live one way, by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. So here we are today. Isn't that wonderful? We're growing up just a little bit more. We're growing up as the family of God. We're growing up as those sons. Those sons, praise God, that were birthed by one thing, the beautiful blood of Jesus. The honor and the privilege to receive that grace, that now are we the sons of God. How could we not want to grow up for the Father who has freely given us all things in His Son? How could we not want to yield our body, our soul, our mind to Him by His grace? I know that's not of my life. That's the life that lives in me. Because there is no goodness in this man. The only goodness there is from above. The one that became and was made sin for us, who knew no sin. The very worm upon the cross that the Father had to turn away from so He could have all of His beloved family. Oh, a debt I could never repay, but yet a debt that was fully paid. Gladly paid, and so sweetly that they sang about. It was because of love. The joy that was set before Him was that love for us. There was nothing that was going to ever stop Him from that cross. There was never a doubt. As His Father said, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. It was coming like a freight train and it wasn't going to stop. But that's the same power of His resurrection that I know and I'm growing in that is for us. That when He says, come boldly to the throne of grace, you need mercy all the time. Mercy encourages you. People have been trained, and I'm talking about God's precious people, somehow to think of mercy, you should be ashamed. Mercy is our joy and rejoicing. Mercy is my praise. Mercy is my thanksgiving to God. Mercy is the beauty of the Lamb. Mercy is what's changing me from glory to glory, even into the very image of the one that He will marry. That's the abundance and the power of the mercy of our Lord. But I thank God, brothers and sisters, that we pray believing, because He has made us righteous. And it was nothing of our work, we know that. It was all done and finished at the cross. So in this prayer, as we come before Him, I pray that we understand this prayer is not a robotic thing. It's not something that's mechanized. It's not something that's manufactured. It's not something that's some repeated vain repetition. It's not in actions that are repeated and how and why and when we pray. Think about it. How would it be if every conversation with certain people was always at the same time and the same words were said every same exact time? There would be no relationship, would there? It would be something that would be so shallow and so hollow. How could someone not know my heart unless I gave them all of my heart? How could someone not know me unless I expressed to them every bit of what the emotions and the need, the longing, the doubts, the fears, everything about this heart, I want to be made known to God. I know He knows it. But I want to be known of Him that I know that He knows it. Did I lean my head upon his breast like that precious disciple John? And I just longed for him to know me. To know me in that intimate way that draws me into knowing him in that more intimate way. Brothers and sisters, when we come boldly to the throne of grace, let's pour it all out. Amen? Don't let the enemy make you confined in what you call out to God for. Never be ashamed. Be thankful. Be joyful. As David, as we rejoice many times, as he danced before him, he had to take basically everything off. I love being naked before my God. He knows me. He knows my heart. You search me, O Lord. Know me if there be any wicked way in me, and I know there is. You'll search it out. You'll lead me in the way of everlasting. I thank God for these things. But brothers and sisters, one thing I want you to know about prayer, it's not of you. Did you know that prayer is not even of you? Because we don't even know how to pray as we ought. As it says, the Spirit does it and performs it in us. Go over to Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 26. It says there, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. Do you realize how infirm you are? Oh, I'm so thankful in type. I always want to come before my Lord, striking my chest and bowing my head and say, oh, Lord, have mercy on me. All I can do is bring you my thanksgiving. All I can do is give you my praise. I do not know how to pray as I ought. Oh, but by His Spirit, it says right here, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Is it any wonder why those, and I want to be one of those, and I can testify I am, I love praying in the Holy Ghost. The most, if you will say, turbulent times of my life, the most heart-wrenching experiences I've ever had, I'm thankful to God how they've always been met, was in that language of the Holy Ghost. There wasn't anything else I could say. There wasn't anything else I could think. I was so hurt, so distraught, so disturbed, maybe even so fearful. Let me tell you something. I needed love shed abroad in my heart at that moment. And praise be to God for prayer in the Holy Ghost. How it strengthens us. That wondrous language, as the Word of God tells us, that speak mysteries unto God. And I want you to know, by the grace of God, that edifying is vital for your life. It's vital. It's something that will encourage you. It's not something that I lean to as my prize and my rejoicing. I'm thankful for it. It is part of my worship, and it is a precious part of worship. It is a very needful part of worship. It's a part of worship by the grace of God that will help you grow up into Him. It's something that will increase in your life spiritual encouragement when you hear the Holy Ghost speak through your vessel. It's something that's needful. There's a ministering that even goes on to you. If the Lord wants you to know what you're saying, He'll let you know. But I'll tell you one thing. There isn't a comforter like the Holy Ghost. There isn't. Matter of fact, He was sent to comfort us. Amen. How comforting is it to come and worship Him in the Spirit? It's a powerful thing. But as you allow that yielding to go forth in your life, you'll find the Holy Ghost and His language through you a comfort. A comfort that you need. A comfort that won't just be in rejoicing. It'll be a comfort in sorrow. It'll be a comfort to you when there's tears that won't stop. It'll be a comfort to you When there's fear, it'll be a comfort to you. And I can express this. When your body won't necessarily do what you want your body to do. The best cure for anxiety, I can attest. Praise the Lord in the Holy Ghost. Prayer is not more powerful in numbers. It's not. Prayer is made powerful one way. In Jesus' name, believing. It's made powerful in Jesus' name, believing. We've heard of prayer chains. It grieves my heart. Somehow people think that the more people that pray for them, it's going to be more effective to God. That's not true. That is not. We're shown through the Word of God, whether it was sweet Hannah who wanted a child, whether it was Hezekiah who asked the Lord to heal him. They did not seek out people. They did not even seek out the priest. They sought out God and God alone. And they went to him believing. And oh, how they were answered so mightily. He heard the petition of their heart. And in Jesus' name, he hears the petition of your heart. As it says in Philippians 4:6, let your requests be made known unto God. Please let that be your first move. Please let your first utterance be Jesus. Jesus. Now, I don't want any confusion with this. We have some wonderful prayer requests in this place, don't we? But I ask you, are these prayer requests made unto man or unto God? They're made to God. Because when we enter into this place, we enter in Jesus' name. When we enter in Jesus' name, we enter in one accord. There is the unity of the Spirit. There is a bond of perfectness. We come unto God as the body of Christ and praise God, one body. And it's unto God. Now, I remember, and I will testify of this, how sweet it was to be touched with a very severe infection in my body. And I was so thankful. And I believe different ones that are tried in things that basically man will say will kill you, how God will set you apart to himself. I had what was called those flesh-eating infections in my body. And I happen to be blessed that I have pretty much every allergy to most penicillins. So I can't take them. And I knew something was wrong. It was very evident in my body and on my body. But God encouraged me to trust him. And the Lord allowed that infection to grow rampant in my body, but he stopped it. And when I went to the doctor, as the Lord finally told me to go see him, and it wasn't out of fear and it wasn't to get help, the Lord told me to go see him. And I think, to be honest with you, he lived three doors from me. And I know it was a testimony to him. Because when I showed him my leg and showed him that infection, he was just shocked. And the very first thing that he said, and my wife will attest to this, how did that stop? He could see that that infection was so rampant, but it was confined to an area about the size of a large football. And he said there was no explanation for it. And I remember smiling at Polly and saying, well, the Lord did that. Now, I couldn't take the different penicillins and things of that nature, but I knew God had stopped it. I knew God would deal with it. And there was a peace that I had with God. And it was sweet to trust him for many months. And I had told a few, all I could do was get to basically, we have a beanbag chair in the house, and I would lay on it all day long. I couldn't get up from it for at least 6 months. The only time he would get me up and he would encourage me and give me all the energy I needed was to come to preach the Word of God. never missed a service. All glory to him. And that's just his glory. But I remember as it went on, I came to church that morning and I had a knock on that door. And there was precious Bobby at my door. My precious elder, Brother Steiger. And he was weeping and he said, Pastor, he said, I am so thankful. I know the Lord has already given you the prayer of faith, not because of who you are, but because he's God and you are believing him. But I had a dream last night. God gave me a dream that we prayed for you here in this meeting. And this prayer was not only for you, it was for the body of Christ. It was for our meeting. And he said, Brother, would you be willing to have us pray over you today? And I said, oh, what a privilege, brother, it would be. Came out, standing in this same place, and my precious elders came forth to pray over me. And I remember Brother Bobby laying his hands upon my life. And as he called out to God, I cannot express to you the heat and the fire that came through my body at that moment. And I knew at that moment, not only was I kept, but I was healed. And it was very soon after that, God took it from my body. And I thank God that he has taken it from my life. Now, why do I tell you that? Because there's a oneness in Christ. And you wait on that. And I thank God that it says that you that are sick, that are among us, you call for the elders. And they'll come forth to pray over you in the prayer of faith, believing. Anointing with oil. I remember having a brother recently said, Brother, why do you anoint one another with the oil? Well, let me tell you something. The Word of God, it's not out of repetition. It's not out of something that we do because it's religious. It's because it's the very power and representation of the Holy Ghost. It's that anointing oil, praise God, that we know that he has given us that anointing that pours forth from us. I thank God that I do. Now I got a beard. And I want that oil dripping from my beard. I want that smell, praise God, of that oil upon my life. Some will tell you that you need to ask God very specifically. You know, you've got to be precise in your prayer. You've got to tell him exactly what you want done. I'm going to tell you something. The word of the Lord tells you that he already knows your request before you ever asked. I want to give you the word of God. I'm not trying to hurt you. But the last thing I want you to be is fearful when you pray. I don't want you to think you need anything to pray except Jesus' name. I want you to know how much he loves you. Not how much he loves an elder, or how much he loves the body, or how much he loves your pastor. I want him to know, I want you to know how much he loves you. How much he's for you. How priceless your faith that he has given you is to him. That bended knee is what moment by moment, all he wants is for you to worship him. Just ask him. To not think that there needs to be something prior prepared at all. But just that moment of a broken heart, a cry out to him. Jesus. Brothers and sisters, why not ask the Lord for his perfect will? Are you really willing to step out in faith? I know we have needs. My goodness, I got a home. I got family. I've got kids. I want them protected. I want you protected. I want God's hand on this meeting so mightily. But I'm going to tell you, I've learned something over the years. I've learned not to tell God how to do it. I told him how to do things for a long time. Even as your pastor, once in a while, I'd slip and I'd say, God, I need you to do it this way. I don't want to do that no more. I'm very satisfied, I want you to know, letting him increase and me decrease. I think even my little body's wasting away. You know, there was a wee little man that was up in a tree that God did a lot for. But I'll tell you something. His way and his timing is always perfect. His way, his timing, and his will, which is the word of God. Make no doubt about it. It'll always be the word of God. Will always bring you an abundance in your life that you would have never had. You'll find out through the word of God, those that pursued it, and I'm talking about our brothers and sisters in Christ, that pursued God on their own terms, always received so much less than what they could have had. As opposed to really trusting God and stepping out in faith and saying, Lord, have your will with me. Lord, have your way in this. Lord, I want you to be magnified. The only result I want from this by the grace of God is that there would be more full assurance of faith believing you. Let me tell you something I've really learned to pray. Praise God from the Apostle Paul. The prayer that I want always from my lips is if by any means I might win you. You're stepping out in some territory there. It's glory to glory, but I'm going to tell you, glory to glory is found in a dark mile. It's found in a lion's den, and it's found in a fiery furnace. You'll learn to pray, Lord God, I want to know you. You're going to learn to pray like David, Lord, let my heart be still and wait upon you. You'll learn to pray with thanksgiving in all things, expecting from the Lord, knowing that they may have meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. He's causing you to do things in your life, I know, brothers and sisters, so sweetly. You have love, great loves and great passions. But he's showing you, by the grace of God, you love me more. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Only Christ in you can do that. I'm beginning to see him take charge. Lord, I love you more than my life. And that's glory to him. And I'm watching it. You're not giving up. You're getting more. Do you know that? You're not being robbed, you're being increased. You're not taking a vow of poverty. You're growing in riches and glory in Christ. Throughout my life, I've been around a lot of wealthy people. I've managed their monies. I've seen transactions and deals that boggle your mind as far as the numbers. But I'm telling you, I'm looking out upon riches untold. I pray you really know this and receive this. The riches in this place today surpass infinite worlds of gold, silver. Matter of fact, so rich. Just think, at that time when he just has his own, he's got to make a new heaven and a new earth for them to be set in. Do you know who you are to God? Do you know the riches of his glory that he is building in you? We're walking on holy ground because he's made you holy. Walk on it. Now, finally, It's on my heart. Couldn't let this go. It's time for us to seek the Lord and seek Him truly in the language of the Holy Ghost. If you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, seek to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah, just for yourself. Don't pressure people. This is love. Never pressured anybody to be saved. You don't go out there, you got to be saved, you're going to hell. You want to be saved because Jesus loves you. You want to receive Him as your Savior because He's so wonderful. He is God. He's the Lamb. Now that's the beginning, and all the promises of God that follow forward that are for us, take them. So this is something that's an encouragement throughout the Word of God. Get filled. And then I have to even say, I know there's many that have been filled a long time ago. But I ask you, when's the last time you spoke in that beautiful language? I know through the years, I've been here. I know how that's been. And I'm telling you, the enemy just wants you to shove it under the rug. Yes, when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you're filled with the Holy Ghost. But I believe when we follow Paul as he followed Christ, there is a fullness. And that fullness is manifold. And one of the evidences that Paul made very known, I'm so thankful I have such abundance of speaking in the Holy Ghost. Is that not just as powerful as Paul saying, I have abundance of love to you? Or Paul saying, I have abundance of, I want to know the Word of God more and more. I want faith to increase in my life. Or was one more important than the other? I believe they're all vitally important. Did he not preach to be filled with all the fullness of God? That's quite a fullness, isn't it? Matter of fact, I remember when my sweet sister broke out in the Holy Ghost. How beautiful, honey. How wonderful. Some have gotten critical about the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. It grieves me. And it does. It grieves me greatly. And I want to testify about a couple things. And I'm thankful. Brothers and sisters, there are only a few meetings that I know of anymore in this country. I know some that are in other countries that preach the whole counsel of God. And I'm telling you that. And that's the truth. A couple of those meetings have reached out recently to us to pray for them. That the outpouring of the Holy Ghost would come back upon their meeting. We talked about it on Friday night. Let me tell you something. It's vital and it's important. This isn't something to get concerned about and saying, oh, we're going to get lost like the Corinthian saints and run around here like a bunch of nuts. That's not what we do in here. It's because of the grace of God that's with us. That I thank the Lord that it's going to be by His Spirit. Now, I will have to tell you, oftentimes those that are critical, and I've met this throughout my lifetime. I've asked them, and the Lord has brought that to me. When is the last time you've entered in down at an altar to pray with the brethren? And I stop him. You don't even need to answer the question because I already know. And it's not to pick a fight, but I'm telling you, when your house is on fire, your house is on fire. Did you come this way and sit in this church this long to watch it pass you by? Don't let it. Don't let it. This just isn't an experience. This isn't just part of our life. This is our life. This is who we are. This is what we're called to. We'd sit in here, I mean it, by the grace of God, He'd have to do it. We'd sit in here 24/7 and rejoice and have fun and all these different things. But God has called us out of this place to go and have our occupations in the world. I know that. But we have to understand who we are in Christ. Now I'm going to tell you something. Those that frequent this precious altar, and it's not just because of the altar or the motion of going down, it's the state of heart. I find them very seldom critical of praise and worship. And what I plead with people today, don't sit there with your jaw clenched saying, I'm going to do it my way. We've all been there in one way, shape, or form, but don't do that. That results in one thing every time, a dry riverbed. It dries out when there is a river flowing that would drown you. Jude 20. But ye, beloved, listen to that. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, I believe that's for you, and I believe that's for me. And what I'll encourage you, continue to avail yourself to the altar. Those that are listening right now, and I'm sincere, you have an altar in your home. Pray. Gather together. Get down. Kneel before that couch. Worship is a family in the Holy Ghost. Don't let it be a strange thing. Let it be something that becomes common. But not common in a way that it's common, but that we frequent, and oh my, how uncommon the Holy Ghost can be. But as we come forth today, and I pray every life here, take the time. We're not looking for noise. That's not what he's looking for. He's looking for a heart that's after him. But a heart that's full of praise is the heart that's after him. And as we just read, you want to encourage yourself in that most holy faith that's set apart, which is also known as Paul's gospel. What does it say right after that? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Let's come and pray today together. Okay? We'll just come pray today. Praise God. And you're dismissed if you need to go, but I pray you'll come and pray and worship the Lord.